Well, I'm going to launch a new series of messages with you this morning that we are going to do until the end of June, leading up to the summer season. We've had a great time over the last few weeks talking about origins, which was the theme of our Global Impact Celebration. And then last week, Kevin Beeson was here from our LifeLinks Church in Lewiston, and he challenged us from the life of Jonah about pushing out of our comfort zones. I wasn't here in person, but I did catch the service online this week, and I have to say I was a little unnerved to see my wife in tears on the stage last Sunday. I'm thinking we need somebody with some emotional stability in our house, and I've been relying on that, but actually I was really blessed to see how the presence of God was touching her heart. That was a powerful time of worship last Sunday, and of course this Sunday as well. You guys are bringing it, worship team, and I love it. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the seasons of life that we go through, and specifically how to win in the season we are in. In Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon said these words, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to gather or to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." Life is all about seasons. And of course, in Canada, we have four seasons in Canada, and other countries in different climates have different types of seasons as well, and these all relate to the weather. But in our lives, we go through all sorts of different seasons as well. Things begin and things come to an end. We can't control the seasons in the natural. If I had my way, we would have ended winter a lot sooner than happened this year. They just happen. God created the world that way, and our lives are no different. We can't control the seasons. They just come and go, whether we like it or not. Some seasons bring joy and peace. Others are much more difficult. Some seasons we can't wait for them to be over, and others we wish would never end. In our family, in my immediate family, May is birthday month. All three of my daughters were born in the month of May, 10 days apart, their birth dates. You're saying, well, what was going on 9 months earlier? I'm not really sure. Something about September, baby. And this past month, or this past week, Asia, my middle daughter, celebrated her 17th birthday. Yeah. She was in Edmonton, so with Angela for a volleyball tournament, so I wasn't with her on her birthday. But you know how Facebook is. You get the memories that pop up in your phone. And so all these memories started coming up of the different birthdays where Asia and I went for lunch. We still have to have our annual lunch, Asia. And so these photos came up from many different photos over the last 17 years where Asia and I went for lunch. And I was a little nostalgic as I looked at some of these pics. Man, this girl has changed in 17 years. And each of those pics sort of represented different seasons in my life as a parent. My relationship with Asia has changed and will continue to change in the years ahead. My role as a parent in her life is different now than it was in many of those photos. I can't parent her the same way. I have to adapt to the new season. And there's a part of me that looks forward to the new seasons that are coming in her life and in the new seasons as a parent, the new ways that we have conversation and relationship. But there's another part of me that is sad that some of those seasons have ended. And I miss those days when she was happy to have me kiss her and tuck her into bed at night. She's not so thrilled about that anymore. But it's life. And spiritually, we go through seasons in the same way. There are times when my relationship with God feels fresh and rich. Other times when it's dry. There are times when I see the hand of God and experience His blessing. And other times I struggle to see Him or to hear Him through the trials and disappointments of life. Ministry has seasons. There are seasons of sowing and seasons of reaping, times of hardship, times of blessing, times of building, and times when things have come to an end. 2.5 years ago, I would have said that we were in a season of prosperity as a church. We were setting attendance records, ministries were growing, doing well. And then, as you know, out of nowhere, this thing called COVID-19 appeared. And it's been a totally different season for the last 2 years. One like I've never experienced before as a pastor. There have been many storms that we've had to weather. And now here we are. And I would say we are in a new season. I sure hope so. A new season of replanting, of rebuilding in some ways. I sure hope that other season's over. But here's the interesting thing. Even though we know that life is all about seasons, isn't it true that we often don't handle the changes in seasons very well? Sometimes they catch us by surprise, and so we don't feel prepared. Sometimes we think a good season's going to last forever, and then we're stunned when it doesn't. Or we think a tough season's never going to end. It will. Sometimes we are slow to recognize the season that we're in and we don't make the necessary adjustments. We know that each season requires different clothes, different tools, different tires, different requirements. And as I look back over the last 2 years personally, I can tell you that it was a tough season for me in various ways. I've shared some of those things. In some ways, I did well, and in other ways, I would say I was slow to make the adjustments that were necessary. I can also look back and realize that I learned some things in the last couple of years. I can honestly say that I grew in some areas of my life that I didn't even know I needed to grow in 2 years ago. And when I think about life and about all the seasons that we go through, I realize that my ability to win or embrace the seasons of life has a direct correlation to my levels of joy, hope, and peace. Even as I say that phrase, embrace the seasons of life, there could be this thought, well, some seasons are meant to be embraced, but others only to be endured. But I want to challenge us today, and I believe over the coming weeks we're going to be challenged, that God wants us to embrace every season, even the winter seasons of our lives. And so over the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about some of these different seasons of life and about some of the different requirements, tools, and attitudes that will allow us to flourish in those specific seasons. But this is the intro message, and so today I just want to give us 3 thoughts that will help us embrace every season of life. The first thought is this: we need to understand that there is a purpose to every season. We know that in the natural world that seasons play an important role. I love sunshine. I love green grass. And I especially love hitting golf balls off of green grass in the sunshine. It's the best season of life. Sunshine is required for that grass to be green. But something else is also required. Rain. I hate rain as a golfer. When we have nothing but sunshine and no rain, we get a desert. And I've hit enough golf balls out of sand traps to know that golf isn't nearly as much fun in the desert. Now, sometimes I get really frustrated when I can't play golf because it's raining and storming. But if I want to play off of the lush fairways, I can appreciate the rain. And I realize that rain has a purpose, and so I can learn to embrace it. God has a purpose in all the seasons of his creation. And he has a purpose in every season of our lives as well. In the book of James chapter 1, we get that scripture that many of us want to cross out instead of underline that speaks to this very idea. James writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." James knew that his readers were going through some difficult times and facing some real persecution. James knew they were struggling for perspective and were facing real discouragement. They didn't seem like a season to be embraced in any way. But James reminds them of this great opportunity, as he puts it, that was right in front of them. And he points them to the purpose of the season. Because of this season, they would have a chance to grow, perhaps more than ever. And I love how James says, "So let it grow." It's another way of saying, embrace it. Embrace it, guys. Yes, there was endurance required, but they could embrace it if they could see the purpose in it. And Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." God doesn't waste a season in our lives. He uses every one of them to accomplish his ultimate will, which is to conform us to the image of his son. God is in the transformation business. But transformation often comes through the tearing down and the breaking and the pain. I don't love the pain, but I love the gain. And if I can see the gain, I can embrace the pain. Sometimes in the middle of the pain, we can't see all that God is doing through it or what he's up to. And so faith in his character and surrender to his sovereignty is required. Oftentimes it's in the looking back that we can see the purpose of the pain or the growth that the difficult season provided. In the Bible, there is this famous story of a man named Joseph who had a dream. In Genesis 37 verse 5, it says, "One night Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream," he said. He's excited about it. "We were out in this field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and all your bundles gathered round and bowed low before mine!" Exclamation point. His brothers responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and because of the way he talked about them. Of course, we know that Joseph had another dream that his family didn't like so well either. But notice the exclamation point after the phrase, "bowed low before mine." You guys bowed low before me in my dream. He is excited. They're not so much. Joseph's pumped. And he seems to have talked about his dreams in a way that his family hated? Was there some arrogance in Joseph? Did he have some things to learn? I don't think there's any doubt about it. Many of us know the story. From that moment on, Joseph went through many difficult seasons. Seasons of betrayal, seasons of abandonment, seasons of confusion, seasons of disappointment, ultimately ending up in a prison with no way out, only to discover that God's purpose was in the prison. His prison wasn't the dead end he thought it was. It was actually the gateway to the palace. In his darkest moment, he discovered that he was closer to the light than he'd ever been. Years later, when this original dream becomes a reality and his brothers are literally bowing down before him as he's a ruler in Egypt, they thought, uh-oh, he's going to punish us now for our betrayal. But notice the words of Joseph in this moment. In Genesis 15, 19, Joseph says to them, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." You see, as Joseph looked back in this moment, he could see the purpose in every season that he went through. He could see that the hand of God was with him through every evil intention that had come against him. And he was working it all for his good. He was working it all for his divine plan. In the moment, it wasn't so clear. But in the looking back, it was so obvious. Church, can I challenge you? That when you are in a present difficulty that is hard to understand, can you look back in your life and see evidence of the hand of God being with you? I think you can. I know I can. And so in those moments, we need to remind ourselves that if God was with us in the past, he'll be with us now. As the song says, "I've seen you move the mountains, and so I believe I'll see you do it again." My past tells me what my future is going to look like. God's the same, yesterday, today, and forever. When Anatoly and I were in Pakistan about a month or two ago, we had a lot of time to chat, the two of us. And I was just sharing with Anatoly, we just got talking personally, and I was just sharing with him, you know, as a good friend, just some of the difficulties that I'd been through emotionally and in the last couple of years. And he asked me one of these reflective questions. "So what was God teaching you through all this?" I don't know that I had really taken the time to analyze it and to reflect so much. But actually, his question caused me to think. And I've sort of reflected on it a bit since. And I see that in my reflection that I've learned better how to let my roots grow down deeper and find water in desert times. I've learned I can take a punch and keep going. I've learned that God is close in the storms. I've learned I can't do anything without him. I really need him. I've got a better handle on what's important. I think I'm going to define success differently in the future. I would say to you today that I feel weaker in some ways than I did before COVID, and yet surprisingly, I feel healthier. Isn't that interesting? I'm not totally sure all that God is doing in me and all that God is doing in this church, and we aren't all the way through it yet. But one thing I'm convinced of, God is up to something. He's pruning. Why? So that he can bear more fruit. He has a purpose in every season. And when I can see that, I can embrace every one of them. If I'm going to embrace every season, my second point is I have to learn to be content in every season. And this point is very closely related to the first point that we've been talking about, but it's worth a mention specifically. The Apostle Paul wrote a large portion in the New Testament, and of course, many of the seasons of life that Paul went through are documented. The hardships he endured were legendary. And yet Paul was a man who seems to thrive in every season. In Philippians 4, verse 11, he wrote these words, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty stomach, whether it's with plenty or with little." And Paul says here that he's learned how to be content, or you could say how to win in every season. He describes seasons of prosperity and seasons of want. And yet, despite the changing seasons, we see a consistency in Paul. He's not an emotional basket case. He's not overcome with worry. He's at peace. That seems almost impossible. It seems almost, Paul, you're otherworldly. But I'm comforted somewhat by the fact that Paul tells us twice in this passage that he had to learn to be content and learn the secret of living in every situation. In other words, it wasn't more natural for Paul than it was for you and me, but it was and it is achievable. Again, I think being content has a lot to do with trusting that God has a purpose in the season I'm in. I think that being content speaks about not just fighting against that which I don't like and getting angry about it. It speaks of placing my situation and my trust in the hands of God and leaving it there. You know, in Canada, we don't like the winter too much. And we have a lot of snowbirds, we have a lot of snowbirds who like to escape the winter. They want out of it. Many times we're like this, fighting against what we don't like, wanting out of it, not understanding. We're begging God, get me out of this. And Paul had one of those times too. He describes it in Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord, take it away. And each time God's response to him was, my grace is all you need, Paul. My power works best in your weakness." And so Paul's perspective changes. He grows. He learns something. So now Paul says, "I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults." Isn't that crazy? He takes pleasure in his weaknesses and the insults. I don't like being insulted. He says, "I take pleasure in them, in the hardships, in the persecutions, in the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Three times Paul is begging God to remove the thorn in the flesh. But the thorn was there for a purpose. It didn't need to be removed. It needed to be embraced. Paul learned to be content with his weaknesses, with the insults, with the hardships, with the troubles, because in those moments, he was even more dependent on God, and his dependence released the power of God in a greater measure. The grace of God was found in the embracing, in the surrender. What was the secret? Paul says, I've learned the secret of living in every situation. What was it that gave him the ability to be content in every situation? He answers, he tells us what the secret was in the very next verse, which we quote many times. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. It was the grace of God and the strength of God that gave Paul the ability to be content in every season, to even embrace the thorn. It was the grace of God that allowed him to win in every season. And my friends, the same grace is available to you and to me. No matter what season that you are in, I have good news for you. There is grace for you in that season. And I think one of the biggest lessons that I have learned this year is that I could be content in this season. I was being overcome with anxiety and worry and discouragement, but I told you this, to draw near to the Lord. And when I did that, I found new perspective and I found new grace. And I'm still learning this rhythm of life. My default is worry, anger, and fear. But God calls me to trust Him, to surrender, and to live in His grace, and to look for His power to shine through in my weakness, and in so doing, to be content. This leads me to my last point this morning. If we're going to embrace every season, we must keep a humble posture in every season. If you want the grace of God, I tell you where it comes. It only comes through humility. James 4:6 says, and he gives grace generously. How many of you could use a generous dose this morning? Well, I got good news for you. He gives grace generously. He's extravagant with his grace. But how do you get it? As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you need the grace for the season that you're in, it's found in humility. When we get angry at God, when we refuse to embrace the season, what we're doing in a sense is declaring that we know best and we're telling God what he should be doing. In that place, we lose the grace. When Paul says, I've learned how to be content, it's telling us something. He's got a teachable attitude. He's a learner. When he began to boast about his weakness, he was living in humility, independence, and that allowed him to thrive. Church, humility is the key ingredient to win in every season of life. Not only is it true in times of want, but it's perhaps even more true in times of prosperity. Joseph was humbled by the trials of his life, but he kept that humility in the palace as well. He never lost it when he prospered. He had learned the power of humility. It had never been about people bowing down before him. It had always been about allowing God to use him to bring salvation. The glory was all for the Lord. It was never for himself. And Joseph grew to learn that. And so he thrived in the palace as a result. Next week, as I begin to dive into a specific area, I'm going to talk about this whole area, about how to win in the season of prosperity or in plenty. Probably not the place you thought I would start the series. I think it will be interesting. But I'm going to end today with this final thought regarding humility. A humble heart is revealed in the way we worship. You say, how do I know if I've got a humble heart? You'll know by the way you worship. Worship flows from a place of humility. Job was a man who lived in great prosperity and also experienced great loss in Scripture. There's a whole book to telling us his story. But the Scripture says this about Job. Upon getting the news that his house had collapsed, killing all of his children. Job 1:20, then he fell to the ground in worship. What would you do if the news came that your house collapsed, killing all your family? When Job heard the news, he fell to the ground in worship. And he said these words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I'll depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." That's a humble heart. Job's story, as you read the story, is one of winning in every season of life. But the key was found in his humility, which was revealed in his worship. We worship God when we don't understand, because we surrender to his sovereignty. And we worship God in plenty because we know he's our source and we couldn't do anything without him. Church, God wants us to win in every season. I believe that with all my heart. So let's embrace the season we're in. Every one of us is in a different season this morning. You know, one of the things about seasons is you can be prospering in one area of your life and in the desert in another. But God wants us to win in every season. So let's embrace the season we're in by understanding that there is a purpose to every season, by learning to be content in every season, and by keeping a humble posture in every season. I believe if we do those things, we will win in the season that we're in. Does that sound okay? Why don't you stand to your feet this morning and I'll close in prayer today. Father, we come before you this morning in humility. You are God and we're not. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Who are we that you are even mindful of us? And yet, oh God, you love us. You call us your friends, your sons, your daughters, and we worship you. And God, I thank you that no matter what we are going through, that you don't abandon us, that you walk beside us, and you give us grace to not just endure, but to thrive. And Father, I thank you that there is grace for every season. And so, Father, today we just come in humility and we say, Lord, we need more grace. We need more grace. And God, in some of those seasons that we've been grumbling about and frustrated about and confused about and angry about, maybe even shaking our fist at heaven about, Lord, we repent. We repent and we choose to surrender and we choose to trust you. God, today we just take some of those things that we've been carrying and we put them back onto you and we leave them in your lap and we trust you that you're in it all and that you're working for your good and your purposes and your plans. And God, we just once again say, make us more like you, Lord. Lord, help us to look like you and talk like you and act like you. That's what you want. Mold us, shape us, prune us, cut us. But make us into the image of your Son. Lord, we want to bear fruit. We want to grow and we want to prosper. And so, Lord, we understand then that we got to embrace the season. And so give us the grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, church. Have a good rest of your Sunday.